Hello and welcome to the Pop Papa Napcast. This is episode number 18. I'm TJ Deitch, your host and the proprietor of poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. Hope everyone's having a good summer. It's been wicked hot here lately. As with the past few episodes, I've had to turn off the fans and the air conditioning just to make sure I get as little background noise as possible. I've got the computer pretty far away. It's been getting pretty hot lately itself, so I've pushed it away. I've got a long cord for my microphone and my magic trackpad thingy here so I can control it from a distance, and hopefully we're going to be all right. I should say it's actually a little bit cooler than it has been. It was 90 degrees for 3 or 4 days last week, and when it finally broke and we got a storm or whatever, I was able to open the windows, but then the next day it was hot again and they went back on. It's been kind of on and off lately the past few days, so we'll see. It stormed for a while this morning. It's still pretty cloudy, and it might do it again. I don't know why I'm giving you a weather update. This isn't a regular radio station, but that's just kind of what we've been dealing with lately. The other thing that's been going on around here the past few days has been us preparing to go to Michigan for a few days this upcoming week, both for 4th of July and my cousin Stephanie's wedding. We're looking forward to the trip. Well, I should say we're looking forward to being there and seeing my friends and family and going to the wedding and celebrating that and having everybody see Lucy. The thing that we're not so sure how to feel about is the 10-hour minimum drive to get to Michigan. We're staying at my parents' cottage. They live in Toledo, Ohio, which is 9 hours, or it used to be, you know, before we had a kid, to get there. It's an extra hour to get up to the cottage, but I've noticed that with Lucy, things tend to take a little bit longer. We have been able to do both trips in the exact amount of time before. You know, if you work it out, you can stop to get gas and do bathroom breaks and get food, like, all at the same time, or be as efficient with those as possible. But when you're dealing with a kid, it can be a little bit trickier. This time around, we're not quite sure how it's going to go. She got kind of fussy on the 4-hour drive to her parents' place, and she gets fussy on anything kind of over 20 minutes these days, so we're not really sure how it's going to go, but we're taking certain precautions to see what we can do to make the trip better and hopefully entertain her more. We're going to have a bunch of books. She's not super into books still, but there's a couple that seem to pique her interest, and we've got books that she hasn't seen yet, so maybe the newness factor there will help. We've also, of course, got a bunch of music on my iPod for her that she can listen to. Of course, I'd rather not have to go to that right away. That's like DEFCON 1. That's everything is blowing up and we need to play the Hello song, because I don't really want to have to listen to that for 10 or more hours. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. The other thing that we're doing, she's played with the Kindle before. My wife has like a whole setup on Kindle where just the kid can go on and play. And it's timed, I think, and you can set times for everything. She got some games on there. I've got a game on my phone she likes. I finally have broken down and let her start using my phone. She likes to look at pictures of herself and play this one game and then open the Jeopardy game, say Jeopardy, and then be completely confused by the rest of it and gets frustrated. So we've got those options. There's some storybooks and some movies on the Kindle, but it has Wi-Fi. It doesn't have, you know, internet connectivity to it. So we're going to put things on there, see if that works. And then we're also going to break out the DVD player that we have. It's a portable one. You know, it flips up like a laptop, but you can spin the screen around 180 degrees and then fold it down so it's flat. And we've got plenty of DVDs that she can enjoy. I was able to get a power adapter for the car that is a triple split. We've got a double for the front for the Garmin and the iPod or whatever else we might need to plug in. And then we found a plug in the back that we're going to use the triple through. We might not use all three, but it's just nice to have it in case we do need it. We're going to have a plug-in cooler, plus whatever she's playing with, and who knows what else. So hopefully we'll be pretty prepared. One of them has an extension, so that might help. We've just got to get a thing that mounts the DVD player so she can watch it instead of holding it. But I think we're pretty well set. It's Monday. Did laundry today. We're leaving Wednesday. But I was hoping to record most, if not all, of the show today so I can edit it and get it up and not have to worry about too much tomorrow, because I still also have work to do. I've got a couple stories I'm working on. I've got to get questions to guys. And I also want to get caught up on the photo diary, which I finally got caught up on after Disney. Disney really threw me out of whack, and then I just kept getting behind and behind and behind. And I wasn't caught up for all of most of May and all of June. So that was kind of a bummer. And then halfway through June, I got caught up, and then I got about another week behind, and I started doing them again today, and hopefully I can get them finished up. Because I want to get as much work done as I can ahead of time, so I don't have to worry about so much. But I will have to, you know, transcribe a quick story, an interview I'm doing tomorrow, or today when you're listening to this, and a few other things. But it won't be a big deal. So it's a little bit of a working vacation. It's not a full vacation for me, but I'm going to try and do all my stuff at night or in the morning so it doesn't, you know, bother anybody or get in the way of hanging out. And it won't be that much anyway, so it should be fine. So that's kind of what we've been doing here. We're going to probably pack up today and tomorrow and get ready and then leave as early Wednesday morning as we can. She usually doesn't sleep past 6:30 these days, so we'll probably leave around then, I would think. Get everything ready Tuesday night, maybe load some stuff up or just leave it out, and then I'll load up in the morning while Em gets her ready and take off and just see what happens. I mean, the weather is looking fine, maybe a little rain, but that's not a big deal. We'll see. I mean, it's really a up-in-the-air kind of thing because we've done this trip three, maybe four times with Lucy since she was born. They're usually 6 or 8 months apart from each other, and by that point, you're pretty much dealing with a completely different kid, so this will be a whole new experience. I think it's been a year since we've done this, so we'll see. It'll be an experience, that's for sure, but we're trying to be as prepared as possible going in to make the drive easy for her and easy for us as well, because, I mean, it's still a 9-hour drive. That's a long 10-hour drive. It's still a long way to go, no matter what. I think we're kind of in the right mindset for this to be definitely more than a 10-hour trip, and at least part of it will involve screaming. But, you know, like I said, we're going to do our best to placate the child and make sure she's comfortable and entertained or sleeping, preferably the latter. For a little bit of what's new with Lou, been kind of normal, cruising along stuff lately, but I did notice recently, the past couple days, that she has gotten much more emotionally invested in the things that she watches on television. It's not so much that she just wants to see these shows anymore, but she's actually responding to what's happening in the story itself, which is something that's a relatively new development for her. I mean, she would always watch and laugh and pick lines up and that kind of thing and repeat them later on. But there were two incidences in the past couple days that I was really surprised by. One was yesterday while my wife was out cleaning the car out, and I was inside cleaning the house and watching her. She was watching Totoro, and she just started crying for an unknown reason. I was in the kitchen, and I came out, and I was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I thought she might have hurt herself or done something like that, but I didn't see any marks, and she wasn't, you know, kind of favoring anything. Or usually she asks you to kiss, you know, her finger if she bonks it or whatever. And she didn't do that. And I realized that it was like a sad part in the movie. And I think she was reacting to that and sad about what was happening to the characters. And that's kind of a relief and a good thing. I know it made her sad and that's bad. But the nice thing is that she seems to be understanding empathy, which is, I think, a big step for kids. Because for so long, they're just in their own heads and me-driven, which is fine. That's what they're supposed to be. I mean, when you're a little organism like that trying to figure out how to live, you've got to watch out for yourself. And I mean, she does things like if you bonk yourself or if you get hurt, you know, when she was younger, she would cry or she would ask if you're okay and that kind of stuff. But to see her kind of really engaging with something is, you know, like I said, it's sad in this particular instance, but it's good because I feel like she's starting to understand and feel for other people, which is a good sign in the long run. Today, she was watching Toy Story and had a similar but more positive reaction. She was watching at the end when Buzz and Woody are on the car trying to avoid the dog and get back in the truck, and all these things are happening, and the other toys still think Woody's a bad guy, and they're attacking him, and she was like, oh no! And then when they got on the car, she was like, yay, go, go, go! So that was really cute to see. But again, it's like, you know, she's getting into her entertainment. She's not just, you know, kind of parroting it or liking that they do funny voices and things like that. She's kind of understanding what's happening. And that's cool, like I said, from a developmental standpoint. And it's also kind of neat for me being a, you know, wannabe writer and somebody who watches and reads a lot of stories to see her kind of understanding the relationship between storyteller and story hearer, watcher, listener. You know, there is an investment that you're supposed to give to a good story so that you can get into it and ignore the fact that you're, you know, reading a book or a comic book or watching a movie or hearing someone talk and not actually experiencing it yourself. The whole point of a story is to put somebody else in the place or the world of the story. And so it's cool. It's cool. She's kind of developing this stuff. That's a little bit of a TV talk as well, but she's not really watching any new shows lately, although she's incorporating Lilo and Stitch a little bit more into the regular rotation, which is good. And she recognizes Snow White all over the place, but we don't have that movie, so I'm not really sure how she's doing it, aside from, you know, seeing her in the Tea Party video that we have and the, you know, meeting her in Disney World. But we really got to find Snow White at a reasonable price somewhere on hopefully Blu-ray, because they do look better. But one of those packs that comes with everything, which actually brings me back to the first thing I was talking about in this episode. I'm really bummed out to discover that Disney's DVD, Blu-ray, whatever combo packs don't actually include the digital copy. A lot of other things do. I mean, I've got like Expendables on DVD and it comes with a digital copy. And those Adventure Time season, first and second season Blu-rays I talked about before come with the ultraviolet option. And it's just annoying because I'm from a generation where you buy a thing and you can convert that thing to whatever you need it to. If I had a CD when I was in high school, but my portable CD player wasn't working and all I had was a tape player in my car, I could record that CD to a tape so I could listen to it in my car. There was like a different way of presenting media these days. I'm firmly against copying things and giving them to people. I won't even copy a CD and give it to my dad, which is something that has bothered him. I know. But it's just, I think it's, you know, it's stealing. It's, you're not literally taking something from somebody, but you're making a copy of something and putting two out into the world, which means they're not getting paid for the thing that they did. And if you don't think that a musician should get paid for what they're doing, or people that made a movie should get paid, then I mean, you don't deserve to have something just because you want it. That's not how the world works. You can't go and get a car and be like, well, I deserve this car. I need a car, so I'm going to take this Mustang. It's not how it works. For whatever reason, it's okay to do it with media, and I think that's ridiculous. And a little sad that it seemed to proliferate so quickly and become so normal so fast. But at the same time, I feel like since I bought a movie, I should be able to convert it into whatever thing I need. And I know you can download a program and it takes forever to rip the thing and then put it on. And my disk drive on my MacBook isn't the greatest and doesn't always work. So there's obviously a bit of a barrier there, but it's just ridiculous to me that you can't simply be like, hey, I've got Finding Nemo on Blu-ray and DVD. Can I have it as a digital copy? Oh, I've got to pay $5 or $10 more on the already very expensive Disney sets. That's kind of BS, you guys. Sorry, I gotta say it. I think like the idea now is that you're not so much buying a copy of the film, but you're buying the rights to watch your film, that film, in a particular format. So if I buy the DVD, that means I only have the DVD. If I buy the Blu-ray, that means I only have the Blu-ray. If the digital copy isn't included, then I don't actually own that, because I don't own the movie. I own the rights to watch the movie on whatever format I have. I think that's a little ridiculous. I understand a lot of people abuse these systems, but I don't feel like rules need to be set up to punish the people that do things the correct way. They need to be set up to go after the people that do it the wrong way. And if I need to put Brave on my Kindle so my kid can watch it on a trip to Michigan from New York, I don't think it's that big of a deal to throw that code in or whatever so I can download it. It just feels a little greedy. I mean, I love Disney, and, you know, I come from a family of Disney lovers, and we're actually Disney Vacation Club members now, but I think that's a little crappy. So that's just my little two cents on a little bit of TV talk that kind of relates back to all the other things I talked about today so far. But it's a bummer, you know, and we were looking to buy digital copies, and some of these things are like $10, and you've already got the movie. There's no wonder people are going illegal or immoral routes to get these things digitally, especially if they've already paid for it. So that's, you know, that's my little rant. I think I'm done with that. One of the things that we've always had to deal with when we go on trips like this, or any trip really, even if it's shorter, like when we went to Sesame Street, is diaper management. Now, I've talked about this a little bit on the show, but my wife and I actually use reusable diapers instead of disposables for the most part. I think when we went to Sesame Place, we used disposables, and we went to Disney, we used disposables, because sometimes it's just easier to do that and not have to worry about it, especially because you have to wash the diapers every other day, and, you know, when you're on vacation, you don't want to do that. Now, when my wife and I were talking about this, she brought it up to me. I had never really thought about it before, because, you know, like a lot of people, I thought they were, you know, the basically like a piece of cloth you got to pin around a kid and all this kind of stuff. But there's actually a brand called Bum Genius that makes some really great diapers. There's three different kinds that we have actually. Two of them involve putting an insert, which is like a cloth strip, a big one, like about almost a foot long, a little bit less, into kind of a pocket. Now, the two pockets that we have where it actually goes inside, one has Velcro straps and one has buttons. And you can adjust these also for height and all that kind of stuff. We've used these since Lucy was maybe 6 or 8 months old. There's a different kind that we used when she was a newborn. I can't really remember how long that lasted, but that was a different model, and I actually don't remember exactly how it how it worked out, but it was a little bit more complicated. But, you know, if and when we have a second kid, I will explain it to you then, because it will be fresh in my mind. But at this point, we're still dealing with the Bum Genius ones. So there's those two kinds, the Velcro and the snaps. And then there's a third kind that we have that are called flips. And instead of the insert going inside like a pocket, in this case, you just kind of put the insert into the cover. There's a couple flaps that hold the very ends, and then the actual insert is touching the kid in their diaper zone instead of part of the pocket from the diaper. I have some links where I wrote about this on my blog that actually have diagrams to explain this a little bit better. But basically, what you do is, after the kid goes to the bathroom, you take the diaper off, you separate the insert from the diaper, and then you throw them in a bag. We also use cloth wipes that my wife actually made out of, you know, cloth that we just bought at Joann's, and she just whipped them together with her sewing machine. And those go in kind of a traditional diaper warmer with like a sponge in the bottom. And then we use a formula that consists of 24 ounces of water, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and 2 tablespoons of like a baby safe shampoo. We keep that in a Nalgene bottle that my wife used to use, because it's got the measurements on there. Shake it up, and then we pour that into a little squeeze bottle. Then you put one wipe in, squeeze the formula on, another wipe, squeeze, you know, as much as you can fit. So that's kind of our setup. When we go out to eat, we'll give Lucy a disposable diaper usually, because she drinks a ton of water, and that will go through her right away, and that can lead to some wet laps, which nobody really likes. But aside from that, you know, 99% of the time she's wearing one of these diapers, and they've worked great, and I really feel like they've saved us a ton of money. The thing about them, though, is that they cost more up front. I don't have the exact numbers. I'll have them in the show notes for this episode of what, you know, these things cost. But, you know, a couple $100, maybe more, you've got to spend on diapers in the beginning. But what winds up being the case in the long run is that they wind up being cheaper. You just got to have the money to get into them. It's like, you know, renting versus buying a house or a condo or whatever. It costs more money to get into the house when you buy it, but in the long run, it's cheaper because theoretically you can get your money back, and you're also owning something, and that's good for your credit and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of the difference between renting and buying, but with diapers. Instead of renting a disposable diaper that you're going to throw away, you get a reusable one that you can keep using over and over again. And like I've said, we've been using these for, you know, a year and a half, about around there, and they're still working great. As I mentioned, one of the downsides is that you need to wash them like every other day. So if you don't have your own washer and dryer, that would definitely be a pain. If we were still in a place where we had to go to a laundromat, I don't know if this would make as much sense, because it would be, you've got to incorporate that cost. And of course, you're using your water and your detergent, all that kind of stuff. We started out using a detergent called Ecos or Echos, and now we're using a new one called Rockin' Green. My wife did all the research on this stuff, but basically what was happening was she thinks that our previous detergent, just from using the same thing over and over again, was actually starting to build up in the inserts a little bit, and that was leading to a lot more leakage than we were used to. And that's the other thing, you know, a bit of a downside is that the way that the disposables are made is that, you know, they're chemically built to hold all this liquid. I changed Lucy out of a diaper yesterday, and I could not believe how heavy it was, like how much she had gone to the bathroom in there. And It all held. We've never really had a leak with a disposable that was properly put on. But it happens sometimes with the reusables. But I think what we weren't paying attention to so much was, like my wife eventually found out, is that you need to kind of switch things up with your detergent. And since she switched, you know, which has been about a month now, we haven't really had any leaks, that kind of stuff. Of course, the other thing that you do have to sometimes deal with is if she's sleeping or there's like an odd position she's in, sometimes it can happen that there's some leakage. But for us, you know, originally we were concerned about the chemicals that go into the diapers, the disposable diapers. We weren't sure how that would react to her skin. Babies have such delicate skin when they're born that we didn't really want to mess with it. We checked the numbers. There was an environmental concern, but again, you really got to weigh, when you're talking about environmental stuff, you do put less in the landfill, but you're using a lot more water to keep them washed. And I'm not really sure how those balance out. For us, we were more in favor of the water as opposed to the landfill, but I don't know, you know, environmentally speaking, which one is technically better or worse. And again, that was not the sole reason we did this. The other thing that you do have to keep in mind is that they involve a lot more hands-on work. In addition to the cleaning that we have to do, which involves, you know, emptying different wet bags into the washer and then doing various cycles. It takes a while, this process, because with the new detergent, we put it in on rinse without any soap or anything, and then we flip it to clean, whitest whites, put the detergent in, let it go, and then after that, it's two more cycles of rinse and whatever, spin, whatever. And then after that, you've got to take the diaper covers out, put them in a basket, and hang them up somewhere while you put the wipes and the inserts in the dryer to dry out. So it, again, that's another long process. Again, more hands-on stuff. It can be a little tricky, which is why we use disposables when we go on vacation, because you don't really want to have to deal with all that if you're in a hotel. But if you're at a place, you know, like we're going to my parents' cottage, we're just going to do reusables because we're just going to be hanging out most of the time and it's not that big of a deal. We do the same thing when we go to her parents' house. The other thing that, you know, the dirty truth of the matter is that when they have go number two, you've got to spray it out. We've got a sprayer hooked up to our shower. You know, it's easy enough that I can do it, so pretty much anybody can do it. Basically, you put a piece that goes in between the pipe that comes out of the wall for your shower and your shower head, and it's kind of a T. Into the T, you plug a hose, and that goes down to a sprayer. The sprayer we have just has an on and off switch, so you keep it on off, and then you turn the water on if it's selected to your shower head, and then spray the stuff off into the toilet as best you can, and then, you know, go from there, put in your wet bag. So I thought that was going to be, like, the worst thing ever. And it's pretty gross. I freely admit that. And I don't like getting dirty, especially with scat, if you will. But you get pretty good at it, I must say. So it's just a thing. You know, it's a lot of trade-offs. I know a lot of people still use the disposables, and they work great. The funny thing is that going from reusables for so long to disposables, like when we went on a vacation last year, I had no concept of when these diapers were dirty or clean or what. Like, being the stay-at-home dad, I kind of know where I can check to see if her regular diapers are wet or whatever. And sometimes you come away with a little bit more than you bargained for. But for the most part, I've got that system down pretty well. And using these disposables, I mean, it sucks it up so quickly. I guess there's like color indicators on the front or the back or something that can help, but I'm the kind of person that gets really used to one thing, and if that thing gets changed and the process is different for keeping up with it, I'm like, whoa, what is going on? So it was actually funny, going to disposables for me was a bit of a challenge just to try and figure everything out. But luckily, she doesn't seem to mind. Lucy doesn't seem to mind. She doesn't get a reaction to the kinds we use, and she likes that they have, like, Elmo and other Sesame Street characters on them. So that's kind of a fun thing for her. But that's just, you know, what we do. I'm not saying that reusables are, you know, the 100% way to go, but I think our parents thought, when my wife brought this up, you know, they pictured the kind of reusable diapers that were around when we were kids, which was the, you know, pinning a cloth around a kid type of a thing, and there's a lot more to it. They're a lot more sophisticated now, and they work a lot better than that. And I mean, there's no pins involved, I promise. Just Velcro and snaps and a couple other things here and there with the newborn diapers. But I recommend checking it out. You know, look into it. If you're having a kid and you're curious about it, or if you've never heard about it and you want a little bit more information, you know, I'll have the links to my previous posts in these show notes, like I mentioned, or you can head over to the Bum Genius website and just give a look around, see what's going on. I mean, there might even be different styles and whatnot that I don't even know about because we got these 2.5 years ago before Lucy was even born. They have different styles. You know, we've got regular white ones and a couple of crazy colored ones. There's pink and red with stripes and all this kind of stuff. So you can kind of mix it up. I don't remember if those are more expensive, but I would imagine that they're a bit more. But just, you know, keep it in mind. There's other things out there that you might not even know about because you don't know about them. I didn't know about any of this stuff when my wife, before, you know, we started talking about having a kid. I didn't know about home births and I didn't know about reusable diapers. I just figured that you did it the way everybody else does it, but there's more options. So, you know, keep an eye out, check it out, see if it's something that might work out for you. And if not, don't worry about it. If you've had different experiences or similar experiences with reusable diapers, drop me a line in the comments. I'm curious to see what other people have to say about this. One more quick thing I will say. If you have a kid like mine who just likes to run around in her diaper, the Velcro ones can be a little tricky because she just likes, you know, diaper and that's about it, especially when it's hot as it is. And I tend to hang out with no shirt on. And that can lead to a lot of Velcro burns if you're not paying attention. So I try to, in the summer, when we're both likely to be hanging around without shirts on or her pants, I try to put her in the button ones in that case. Because you don't get the rug burn, you don't get the Velcro burn, and she doesn't seem to care either way. But I've gotten some really bad ones, and that can hurt a lot. And going back to the empathy thing, they feel bad if they think they're hurting you. And it does hurt, but I mean, you don't want them to think that they're the reason. So that's just a quick a little out there thing to keep an eye on if you have another kid like mine who just likes to run wild a little bit. For the Pop Papa seal of approval this week, I'm giving it to the Kindle FreeTime app. Now, this is the thing I was talking about before, where you can actually set up a group of apps that are just for your kids. We've got one kid, so, you know, she's got one section. But if you had another kid, you could set up sections for both of them. And I don't have as much experience with this as my wife does, but it's a really neat thing because it breaks everything down. Books, videos, apps, characters. You can set time limits on all of these things. So we've got like a Watch Disney Junior app, PBS Kids, a paintbrush thing, a couple different books, some games. And basically what you can do is say like, okay, well, the kid can only play Watch Disney Junior for an hour. After that, it's going to shut down. And I don't know how long it takes to refresh, but that's as long as they can watch it. Same with PBS Kids and all these other things. You can also do like ebooks. We've got, you know, some Elmo books on here, like a Perry the Platypus thing, all these different little things. I think a lot of these are preset and she hasn't really gotten into them. Like there's a bunch of Arthur books on here and some Fisher Price apps. But she loves this thing because you can just hand it to her. She's to the point where she's not going to drop or break things as easily, which is why I let her touch my cell phone now. And I think she really likes being able to interact with something on her own and choose what she wants to do. Now, there's still a few things that she doesn't quite understand or really get how to use on here. But the idea that you can set up this section for your kids, kind of customize it for them and give them things that they can do and have a little bit of agency with, I think is a really great idea. This is for the Kindle Fire HD. I don't know if it is downloadable for the Kindle Fire. That's what I have. I don't let her touch my Kindle still, but my wife doesn't mind. Plus she's got all the cool stuff. So it's a great idea. It's the kind of thing that when my wife explained it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's genius. Why didn't I know more about this? So the Kindle Fire FreeTime definitely gets the Pop Papa seal of approval. I'm hoping that it helps us get through this trip and that she winds up, you know, enjoying herself and not freaking out too much. For the pop-pop of the week this week, I'm giving it to two different characters from the same movie. My wife and I watched Gangster Squad this weekend, and it was pretty amazing. The movie's about a group of Los Angeles cops who basically go after big-time gangster Mickey Cohen in 1949. They're led by a guy named Sergeant John O'Mara, played by Josh Brolin. This is the kind of guy that you don't even really see in movies anymore. He's kind of a John Wayne type who just believes in justice and rightness and wants to keep LA safe. He's gone to war, like a lot of his fellow men, and come back and didn't even recognize the city that he came back to because it's overrun by gangsters like Mickey Cohen, played by Sean Penn. Now, the thing about O'Mara in this movie is that he is this strong-headed guy, but he's also a father-to-be. His wife's pretty pregnant, but his whole idea is that he needs to make his town safe for his own kid and all the other kids. And one of the guys that he also recruits is played by Giovanni Ribisi, who's an actor I've loved since I saw him in, like, Suburbia in 1996 and on Friends back in around the same time. Like, and it's been really cool kind of seeing him get different roles and do different things. He plays a character named Officer Conwell Keeler. He has a kid, and he winds up joining the gangster squad for the same reason. And he's more of an intelligence guy, a tech guy, but he did the same thing. He fought in World War II, came back, didn't really understand what was going on with his people and his town, and wants to put a stop to it. I've talked before about this idea of the balance between being a hero now and being around for your kids. And I think sometimes you need to push past the immediate concern of your own family if you really think that you have a chance of making the world a better place. That's a really hard thing to say. It's something that I don't know if I could actually do myself, but I'm glad that there are people in the world who really exist that feel that way because they can do the things that I can't. I'd like to think that if there was a big injustice going on that I felt I could actually do something about, I would. But so far in my life, that has not been the case. So, I mean, John and Conwell had a choice. Do I play it safe? Do I fall back? Do I move even and keep my kids safe? Or do I do my best to get out there and do everything I can to make sure that life moving forward is as good for my kid as I can make it? And there's a difference there. One is obviously a lot easier. Getting out would be the easiest thing. Move to, you know, Missouri or something and you're good. But there's definitely something heroic and admirable about somebody that thinks that they can change the world and does something to actually change the world. You're obviously taking a risk. You don't know if you're going to get shot. You don't know if you're going to get killed. You don't know if this guy's going to get away anyway. But you have a feeling that you can help and make the world a better place. And that is an important quality in people that sometimes happen to be fathers. And unfortunately, that can lead to people without fathers anymore. So it's just, you know, got me thinking. I enjoyed this movie on a purely like, whoa, awesome level because bad guys are getting punched and the evil are getting punished for the most part. And it's kind of like Dick Tracy, but less colorful. And Josh Brolin's awesome and Ryan Gosling's in it. And everybody loves Ryan Gosling, even though he talks kind of funny in this movie. All that's going on. But there's also, you know, you can enjoy it on another level of watching people do their best to change the world or their immediate surroundings. And again, like I said, that's admirable. That's fun to see. And it's inspiring for that reason. And many others, as I mentioned already, James Brolin and Giovanni Ribisi's characters from Gangster Squad get the pop-pop a seal of approval. All right, folks, it's about time to wrap up. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It's been number 18. I feel like we're getting up there pretty good with all the traveling that we're doing this week, and we're driving back on Monday. I hope to have an episode ready on Tuesday. It might be a little later than normal. It might show up on Wednesday, just to let you know. I'll put a post up if it's going to be extra late. I'm also thinking about taking my handheld recorder and maybe doing the episode that way. It won't sound as good, but we'll see. I talked about doing that with Disney, but I just didn't have any time. So we'll see how the next episode shakes out. Number 19 might be a little different than normal. Maybe I'll have an interview. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. I might even take the big old microphone. But if you want to see more of me on the internet, I'm at unitedmonkey.com. That's MONKEE.com. I am over on monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, trying to write every day about food, but getting at least 3 posts up a week, I hope. And I am on Twitter at Papadietsch, PopPadietsch. If you want more of me than that, I think you just got to show up at my house or call me, because that's all I can fit in the internet, aside from what I do over on comicbookresources.com and spinoffonline.com, and occasionally marvel.com. So with that, I'm going to sign off. I hope you guys have a good week, and I'll talk to you next time.